course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I'm one of your friends. Today, we're joined as always by our other friend, Ike, how are you?
Hey, not doing too shabby, you know, just doing the do. But yeah, some weird guy was walking down the street earlier yelling for someone named Victor. It was kind of strange.
Yeah, went a little scary. Good thing you kept your distance.
True. Catching fries.
That's right. In this episode, we will be reviewing Guillermo del Toro's Frankenstein, which is out on Netflix now. But we have several other things to talk about before we do. And we begin with Ike. Did you watch anything else this week?
Well, I did a rewatch of the show Wednesday. You know, it's in the realm of horror, being, you know, Adam's Family related. And finished the first season, getting ready to start the second season. So that's exciting. I've not seen it yet, so it's all out in all 8 episodes, so I'm very excited to watch it. I hear Steve Buscemi is in this season, so that's always fun.
Yeah, it's good. It's a fun season. I very much enjoy it. Let's see, did I watch anything? I didn't watch anything really horror. I don't think at all. So, yeah, nothing to report from me. So, all right, then. Well, then, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll have news, birthdays, and all that, so stick around. Make sure you subscribe to Listen to Their Screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, we got some good stuff here. We have Betty Boop is getting the public domain horror treatment with an upcoming movie called No Release Date is Available. The Popeye the Sailor Man, you know, horror worked out relatively well, in my opinion. So I think Betty Boop getting her fair share on that that cash in might be fun as well. We'll obviously hopefully get some more information as we get closer, but this should be good.
Yeah, I think it'll be okay. I always kind of thought Betty Boop was kind of scary anyway. She got those weird eyes and stuff. I don't know, but not a big Betty Boop fan. She always thought she was a little freaky. So, yeah, this might work. Work okay. I'm curious to see what they do with it.
Very true. But, all right, moving on now to Orphan 3. That's right. We are getting Orphan 3. Filming is now underway. No release date has been given yet. Weirdly enough, I actually saw earlier today, I was on TikTok, and I saw a TikTok from the girl, her name is Isabel Furman. I saw her on TikTok, and she was in the Orphan, with the character's name, and she was like dancing around, so was a little subtle hint, I'm guessing, towards her being the Orphan again, so that's exciting.
Right. Yeah, underway, ready to go. Still blows my mind that she can still play that character. But it's all good. It's all good. But, yeah, can't wait. Should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. That'll be a good time. But moving on to Good Boy is coming to Shudder on November 21st. We talked about Good Boy when that started coming out and everything else. There was a small theatrical run, I believe. Very limited. But we're going to get it on streaming now, so that's exciting. Shudder always has the good stuff, so something to add to your November watch list.
Yeah, look forward to this. I've been wanting to see Good Boy anyway, so I'm super glad, super excited that it's coming to Shudder. Makes me happy. I like Shudder. I like their app and, you know, and everything else. I can't wait to see this because I've heard some good things.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always down for an alternative method of showing horror, you know, a different angle or a different perspective. So interesting. But that'll be coming November 21st. So put that on your calendar. But also for your calendar, Warner Brothers has officially announced Gremlins 3 is coming in theaters on November 19th, 2027. Full 2 years away from Gremlins 3. So I'll be curious to see what we're going to hear about that. I would venture to guess they're going to try and bring back some of the people from Gremlins 1 and 2. I think that's only natural. I'm curious to see who they're able to get back and how they go about that story. It's again, it's always curious when they do these old, not I guess not old, but somewhat old horror films, and they do remakes, reboots, requels, whatever. It's always interesting to see who they'll be able to get back. Who are they going to be able to entice with enough money to come back?
I think they'll get them back, right? I think the cast is invested in the franchise and everything, and should be fun. I think again with they had the cartoon and everything. I think there's lots more story that can be told in the Gremlins universe, so I don't think they're going to have any issue with this.
I hope not. I think it'd be good to get the I mean, I know Corey Feldman was in it, and he kind of popped back into events. He was on Dance with the Stars, so it'd be cool to get him back. And I'm trying to remember who else was in it. I mean, obviously the main people, Christopher, not Christopher Lloyd. Oh my gosh, the guy from Click. I can't remember his name. He was in it too. He's in the second one, right? So I don't know. It's always curious because you never, I mean, you really don't know. I mean, how many of these people are going to want to come? But his name was, oh my God, I almost have it. Where is it? He was on Gremlins too. He's one of the scientists. Oh man. Man, that just makes me look like a fool.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Not Christopher Lee. He was in that movie, but he's, you know, unfortunately passed. I don't think
Yes.
they're going to be able to get him to come
No.
back for the movie. No, maybe I'm thinking about somebody different. Maybe he wasn't in the movie, but anyway, I'll think about it. Hulk Hogan was in that movie. Did you know that? He was in Gremlins
Yes,
too.
yes, yes. Just the yeah, he was, but he's
I don't think
passed. You're not gonna
we're getting. I don't think we're gonna get him back in it either.
That's
But
all good with that, but
anyways, we'll move on from that. But I am excited. I do like Gremlins, and like I said, I'm very curious to see who they'll get back because obviously we have no information. This is 2 years away. But
right.
anyways, moving on. I'll stop hyper fixating this cast. But moving on now because I think that's all of our news. So we're gonna move on to our upcoming birthdays. We have November 13th, 1935. We have Tom Atkins, who is, of course, the main protagonist of Halloween 3. He's also in Night of the Creeps, Creepshow, and The Fog. Love Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Tom Atkins' character has a somewhat problematic relationship with the female lead. So that's
Or
always a good
with
sign.
all the females, he's just
True.
like hitting on the nurse in the hospital and asking her to take a nap with him, and then didn't get along with his ex, whatever. But it's yeah, him the lead, man. That they didn't waste any time. But
Negative, sure didn't. But
I guess if you're in a hotel room with Tom Atkins, though, I mean, can you resist? I mean, I don't know.
it's the mustache, I'm telling you.
That's right.
But Tom, hope you are doing well. And moving now to November 14th, 1996, Mason Gooding, of course, known for his role in Scream 5 through 7. Mason is also known for, he was in that I Know What You Did Last Summer remake.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He was also in Hard Eyes
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that too.
and Fall. He's been in a lot of horror movies. Holy shit.
Just a
Anyways.
regular little screen queen.
Really though, and, but I love Mason Gooding. He, of course, he
Yes.
plays the Meeks twins, right?
Yeah, he's the
And
brother.
he's the brother, and you know his sister is Jasmine Savoy Brown, which I also love. She's fantastic. She's in Yellow Jackets, but two of them, pretty dynamic duo. I'm very excited to see what they're going to do with the new Scream movie. how they're going to incorporate them into it, because obviously the Carpenter sisters aren't in this next movie, but they're obviously kind of connecting them together with these characters in some way.
Yeah. I don't know. Don't know what the plan is. There's lots of rumors about, but I think I heard one rumor that they will work for Gale in some capacity or so. I don't know. But who knows?
That would make sense. I could get on board with that.
Yeah, I think there's some pretty easy, logical ways to that you could keep them tied into it.
But. Gotcha. Well, I won't argue with that. I think that's pretty easy peasy. So, but in any case, happy birthday, Mason. Hope you're doing well. Can't wait to watch your next movie. moving now to upcoming movie anniversaries. Just a couple of these. We're not as many as we've had in the past. November 13th, 1933, we have The Invisible Man. This is, of course, the OG, the original, you know, Universal Monsters. One of the original Universal Monsters, you know, with Frankenstein, Creature from the Black Lagoon, and Dracula, of course. But this is a good one. This is a good one. I have seen this one. It's one of the ones I have seen.
Yeah, that's good. Of all those movies, probably I would say maybe my least favorite, just, you know, because the character, I like the other characters a little better, but I always do marvel at the effects they pulled off for a movie from 1933. It's pretty, I mean, they created so many methods that were used for a long time. So it's pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely. Those movies always do a good job with the effects, and that's always, I feel like, what they get remembered for, which is not a bad thing at all, but... Very good. We're going to jump now to November 13th, 1998. So many years later, we have I Still Know What You Did Last Summer, which is, of course, the sequel to the original I Know What You Did Last Summer. This one, of course, featuring Jack Black. And this is where, like, they're in, like, the Bahamas or something like that, if
yeah,
I remember
yeah.
correctly.
Yeah. Jack Black's funny. Huh?
So funny. He got dreads and he's, like, a pothead and stuff.
Yeah.
That's so good. Fun. Good times. It was the 90s. Did whatever they wanted, man.
That's right.
But we're going to jump now to November 16, 1984. I've not seen this movie, but I've heard of it. Night of the Comet. Dave, give us some context about Night of the Comet.
It's a fun movie. It's kind of the typical 84 type movie. It's been a long time since I've seen it. I believe some kind of creature arrives to the Earth via a comet. And I want to say he's in the... No, maybe not. I thought maybe they lived in the sewer or something, but this comet comes and I can't remember, wipes out the Earth, and then either has a creature with it or something, or a lot of the people turn into like zombie type things, or I can't remember. But there's a few little people left and they're kind of fighting to survive. I can't remember. It's been so long. I don't remember if the comet had brought some kind of life form on it or affected some of the people when it crashed, one or the other. But there's this like group of survivors or whatever you want to call them that are kind of battling the other things, and it's campy, but it's fun.
Fair enough. Honestly, I've never seen it, but I did look it up on IMDb, and it is available for free on Tubi, which obviously means it's got to be great.
That's right.
So we'll have to check that out sometime. It's a good time. But cool. Night of the Comet. Moving on now to the November 17th of 2023. We have, of course, Thanksgiving. I mean, this is such an iconic movie. And with Thanksgiving come up, this is a perfect movie for everyone to add to their watch list. We are getting a second Thanksgiving at some point. Not this year. I think it might be next year. So be very curious to see where that goes. But for sure, you know, in the holiday spirit, this is one of the few Thanksgiving-related horror movies that are not horrible. You know, I'm looking at you, Thanksgiving.
Hey, now, Thanksgiving is campy, but just try to watch the others. They're bad. Yeah, yes. Thanksgiving's it's fun. And like, and when we reviewed it, you know, we talked about how much we liked the character and thought it was very an iconic-looking character, right? That could really kind of sustain itself in pop culture. I mean, and look at the merchandising they've done for it, and you know, figures and everything else, and it just works. But it's a yeah, it's a definitely a fun movie with a good cast.
Yep. Absolutely. It's good cast is a very lightweight pun. There are some pretty heavy hitters on that cast. I mean, it's insane, but good times. Thanksgiving, like I said, it's a very timely but very good. Everyone should watch this time of year because we're getting into the turkey season and being thankful for things, and this will make you thankful for a lot of
Yes. And again, there's not many other kind of quality type Thanksgiving. I mean, horror movies out there. Most of them relate to some kind of killer turkey or something, so.
Sure. But very good. We're gonna move now to our we have three more here. We have November 18th, 1983, Sleepaway Camp. Dave and I, huge fans of Sleepaway Camp. We've even talked about it. We actually talked about a couple weeks ago. I think it was not Keenan. Was it?
Oh
No,
yeah.
was it Keenan or Kel?
No, it's Keenan Thompson.
Keenan Thompson got the rights
Yeah.
to remake it. So we
Oh.
talked a little bit about it then, and we were kind of expressing how we're not really sure how you would do it in today's day and age, but we'll withhold judgment until it comes out. But of course, we both love the original.
Yes.
The original is the best by far. But yeah, I guess it came out this time a mere, what is that? 17 plus 25 is
42.
42. So 42 years ago, which is insane to me.
Yes, right. Yeah, and I will I am and forever will be a Felisa Rose groupie. She is I love her. Love her and everything. She's such a beautiful woman. So nice, so kind, so just great to be in the scene and at the conventions. Such a great representative. And she's done a lot of good stuff, but of course Sleepaway Camp is probably what she will forever most be known for, and she's cool with that. So, which one of the reasons makes her so great that I love people that accept. You know what? I did this goofy, campy movie, but it was a lot of fun. A lot of people like it, so let's have a good time with it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do know that like a lot of actors don't like that sort of typecasting or pigeonholing, if you will. So and they do it so much to their own detriment that they don't like it. But Felisa Rose is definitely one of those people that really leaned into it. And I feel like kind of sparked a career by leaning into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean,
And
she cameos in so much stuff all the time. She's just, I mean, she was in was it Terrifier 3 or 2?
two.
It was 2, right? Yeah. She played either a teacher or a principal or whatever it was at the school, right? That came and yelled at them when they were messing with the dead possum thing, remember?
Yep, it sure
Yeah.
was.
And she was in Stream. She had a cameo in Stream. But yeah, I mean, just like she gets, these parts like that and stuff because she's so great. She's so fun to be around, and everybody knows she'll be supportive of the project. And I mean, let's be frank, because of her, and again, I'm not saying she's worked hard, right? She works hard to do what she travels a lot. She, is great to the fans, does her thing, right? She is. Almost developed her, really developed herself as a brand. That's work and everything else, but it's made her very iconic and made her a legend. And there's a reason that she's always in demand for conventions. I mean, she dresses up in the camp getup from Sleepaway Camp and at some of them. And she always will do the pose, right? That pose at the end that's Sleepaway Camp's known for. She'll do that. Side look, scream thing, whatever you want to call it. She's just so great. I mean, she appreciates what she's accomplished. She appreciates her fans. She appreciates the genre. And she's super cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you look at her IMDb, I mean, she's got so much stuff in pre-production. Just she just works and works and works and works, and it's insane. But she's one of the greats. That's absolutely true. So very good. We'll give a nice happy birthday to Sleepaway Camp
Right.
on the 18th. But moving on now to November 18th of 1990, we have It. This is, of course, the original It with Tim Curry. this is always interesting because when I watched the original, I think I do prefer the new It just overall, and it's not due to anything other than it just is more slightly more entertaining to me, the better paced. But I will say that I do love Tim Curry's Pennywise. I think that his version seems just slightly better in some way, and it's a very unique depiction of the clown.
Yeah, I think the new overall, right? Because they went deeper into the story, you know, made it a more thorough story. And of course, you know, of course, they had a couple decades of technology advancement to work with and stuff. And
true.
Yeah, so I think, you know, yeah, I mean, the new ones are great, and I love them. But I love the original too for what it is, and always did love it. But yeah, I will always say, no offense to the new It, and I don't know whichever Skarsgård that is. I'm not even sure anymore which one's which, but.
It's a Bill.
Bill, okay, and there you go. And the new one looks cool and everything else. But I will forever be, yeah, a Tim Curry Pennywise guy. I he was so perfect, and I love Tim Curry though. I mean, I just love Tim Curry, and he was great in it. And I love his look because it's the new one is yes, it's very creepy and it's very you know scary. I get it, but the original, it had more of that contrast. Right, of it had some of that bright, playful clown look to it, but also had that creepy. It was a really great representation of why some people are allergic or afraid of clowns, because it's a, you know, it's it had that great combination of looking kind of goofy and fun and childish like a clown's supposed to, yet being very creepy looking at the same right, and he got a lot from the facials, right, and doing that and could change the context of the character and stuff. So, yeah, I love the new one. And I love the new Pennywise and it's great and everything else, but I always prefer the original look of Pennywise from the original miniseries or whatever. But I agree. I think the movies are overall probably better watches. No offense to the old. I love the old, got not a lot of nostalgia for it, but if you could just, again, no offense to me, man, if you could plug Tim Curry's Pennywise into the context of the new movies, you know, just, oof, I, you know, it'd be perfect for me, but.
Yeah, I think I almost agree. I do think, you know, I think Bill Skarsgård did a very good job of Pennywise, but I do agree that there's a certain look that you get with the original Pennywise, that there's a little bit of a brighter color. I get that Pennywise is supposed to be like literally a murderous clown alien thing or whatever.
Yeah. Now what I'm hoping is that with Welcome to Derry, when they get more to the and I'm an episode or so behind, so I don't know what they've shown reason, but when they really show, because at some point they're going to show, right, Pennywise the actual clown when he was working as a clown. I mean, right, there's going to be some of that, I hope, from, you know, like that picture of him working at a circus and everything else, and we'll see touches of, I'm really hoping that when they show kind of the beginnings, a little bit of the clown part of, maybe there'll be quite the homage to the original, right? A combination of the two where they can, you know, show some roots, but where he has a little more of that playfulness look and color, you know, color look. You can, you know, combine it with some of the new qualities, but put in some homages there, right? Because he's it's a little different in it. And, you know, where it could show some development from there. I don't know, from there to here. And I get it, right? And they did a great job of, you know, you don't want to completely just redo the look. You know, straight. That's not a wise ideal to try that. So, but, you know, they did a good job with coming up with a great look and everything else. And I got no problems with it. It's just, you know, side by side, if I had to pick one, it'd be Tim Curry's. It's just the way it is. No offense to anybody. It's just, I like them both, but got to lean that way a little bit.
Absolutely. But yeah, I know, like you said, I'm a little bit behind too, kind of waiting for everything to come out so I can watch it all at once with Kayla. But I venture to guess once they, like you said, kind of get back to the origins of Pennywise when he came to Earth, because they kind of talk about it in chapter two,
mm-hmm.
that he was like, he was like a sideshow clown, and that was like mm-hmm. how he made money. And kind of fit in, if you will, Yeah, I know. I'm very curious to see where they go with that, and hopefully there will be a nice homage to Tim Curry, because I think that'd be proper. So.
Yeah, and in one of the movies, and I don't know if it was in the old miniseries or not, but there, like I said, there is a picture somewhere they see or something. I don't remember the exact context, but where it shows him like by a, one of the old circus coaches or whatever, like a black and white picture of him, at a circus type setting, where it shows that he, and I think they even gave, I could be wrong. Again, it's been a while since I've really closely watched the movies, but I believe they even give a name to the circus or something. So I don't know if that's important. And I've not read the book again, so I don't know a lot of that part of it. Anyway, there are some roots established there, like you said, they mentioned it, and that picture's somewhere there. So it would seem weird not for them not to go into that a little bit in the prequel series. But
Yeah.
again, like I said, I've only watched, I think, the first two episodes. I don't know what's out there now, if it's three or four. I am a couple behind some of this. I mean, we may look like complete fools because maybe this is already it may have already been brought up in there. But so I'm owning that. I am a little behind. So nobody with no spoilers. I'll be watching them soon. But
Here. But
I have to coincide the viewing of Welcome to Derry with Monica. That's why I'm behind, Not no, I'm not blaming her. I'm just saying if it were just me, I could throw it on any time and watch it while, the background while I'm working or whatever. But she watches we watch that one together. So we have to coordinate either, watching that at lunch or in the evening or something. So it's a little harder to schedule, the and we have other shows we watch. So it's, just we haven't got there yet, but we'll catch up.
Absolutely. Got to catch up. No, I can't say anything. I have to catch up too. But no, it's absolutely true. And that's the reality. Some of these shows we do we watch with our wives, and they too enjoy horror stuff. So it's like there are certain things like it. Kayla loves it. She loves specifically Bill Skarsgård's It. So, but she's also like she does not like waiting weekly to watch them. So if we start watching them, she wants it all to be out so we can watch it all at one time, which I get. I'm sure that like we probably have like some kind of like binge watching syndrome or something like that from like growing up in the rise of social media and streaming services and shit. But anyways.
Yeah, I don't mind. See, I don't mind waiting. I would much prefer to be able to watch it either in chunks or all in one setting too. If I had my choice, right? Or I mean, I'm not saying I would. I'm not saying I will necessarily watch the entire thing at one time, but I like it where if I want to sit and watch two or three of them or episodes, I can, and then come back to it or whatever. But I don't mind. I think it doesn't bother me as much. I mean, number one, that's what I was used to as a kid, right? You waited. But even, I don't know, even, you get out of that mindset because everything's so in demand and, at your fingertips. But I don't think it bothers me as much because, I watch lots of things, right? And I'm always watching a movie of some sort or rewatching something or watching I watch lots of different shows and, lots with Monica, lots without Monica. Then just sporadic things that come to mind that I want to see or whatever. So, it's like in the in between, I kind of, I'm busy enough watching stuff. That it's like, it doesn't feel like that much of a weight to me because I stay busy watching other stuff. And now, if I was just focused in and only had like one or two shows I really liked or really watched, it'd probably drive me mad too. But by the way, I didn't ask the update when what you watch. I think we have to have a weekly count here. Where are you at in the Supernatural rewatch?
Oh yeah, that's right. So I'm rewatching Supernatural. I am on season two.
All right.
I'm on episode. Oh shit, where am I at? There's the episode where Joe. We've met Joe and Ellen, and Joe wants to go like on some hunt,
Oh, yeah.
and like
And
Ellen's like, no, don't do it.
at the apartment building.
Yep, at the apartment building, and then at the end, we find out that. Joe's dad was on a
Yeah.
hunt
But
with
John.
John Winchester and died, so
Yes. For okay, for those of you who don't watch Supernatural and don't care, just talk to yourself for a minute. That episode, I love the scene when they're coming back after Ellen went out there And they're riding back, and all of them are in the car, and it's like everybody's real quiet, and I love that part. I'm telling you, the first five seasons of Super, I love them all. Love the entire series, don't get me wrong. But the first five seasons are oof. They're about as perfect of five seasons as you can get. There are a couple stinker type episodes in there. There's a couple that are rough. But every show's got some, right? That are like that. So overall, though, those first five seasons and the story that it tells, because that was the first five were the original plan he had mapped out and written out.
Right.
And then he had to come up with other things after that, which is, worked out pretty good too. But just the way that first those first five seasons, they the arc and everything, it was great. Just it was so good. But yeah, such a good show. Okay. Those non-supernatural people, welcome back. So
Right.
I feel like we're just gonna have to, we have trouble sometimes, figuring out what to do with the wives, with wives' rebuttals, right? Because it's not always a universal us versus them kind of thing on what we like and dislike. I feel like, once a month, we just need to do a side episode, not, an extra one, on the side. Where we do with the wives, but we just talk supernatural shit, like for the whole episode.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I love Supernatural. I know Kayla loves Supernatural.
We love it. We are absolutely obsessed and probably unhealthily so. I mean, we have literally watched this show like 25 times all the way through, and it's constant. We're always watching it. Now, what we have developed a system where every other time we watch it through, we are allowed to skip some episodes if we don't want to watch some. But then every other time we watched every single episode, we can't skip any. So, that saves us from watching episodes like Bugs every time and things like that. But yeah, I think we could really, come up with something fun there because there'd be a lot of passion there. So I don't know. But,
That
anyway,
like
I don't.
favorite season or something like that.
Yeah, we could just, yeah, whatever. It's 15 seasons. Even if we just jumped in and kind of semi-chatted and semi-dissected a season at a time, that's 15 episodes. I mean,
That's true.
or whatever, we could, I don't know, whatever. But and then if somebody just doesn't give two shits about Supernatural, which we've probably lost those people already, they probably turned us off. But they can skip those episodes and just listen to the regular ones.
That's right. Like you said, not everybody loves Supernatural, but those people would be wrong.
That's
So,
right, they should.
yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry if you're a horror fan, give it a chance because it is at its core, it is a horror television series. And I'm telling you, do not get scared of this show for any reason that would be natural to get scared of it. Don't get scared because there's 15 seasons. That's just jump in and watch it. Don't get scared because there's a bunch of good-looking people in it and you think, "Ugh, that's not going to be scary or anything else because they're just a bunch of models." That's not true. Don't get scared because it's a CW show, because I'm telling you, this is not like any other CW show. I don't know how. I marvel at it sometimes, how some of the gore that they slipped into this television show.
Oh, absolutely.
There are some fairly graphic kill scenes for television. I mean, there are. I mean, there are a few that are almost damn near movie level type kills. But almost every series episode's got a little bit of gore and a kill, and they got creatures and they explore. I mean, it's so fun. Anyway.
Well, just one thing on that one. You were talking about stuff that you're surprised it slipped in there. I am forever surprised. One of the most like shocking things that I think I've ever seen in the show is in the later seasons. There's a season, I believe it's after Dean gets the Mark of Cain. The like Frankenstein brothers or whatever called it. It's kind of timely. They spoiler alert. They kill Charlie, and
Yes.
then Dean obviously gets his flesh and some. And at the end, there's like that one who's like, like, oh, please don't kill me. I've never done anything bad in my life. And Dean's like, but you will. And then just straight up blows his brains out, like unarmed, like.
Just shoots him in the head. And yeah, those whole all those episodes, because there's like an episode where one of the Stein Frankenstein people rips his arm off and leaves it hanging in a chain. And I mean, there's body parts, a jar. I'm telling you, there's a lot there. I mean,
There is.
the scene where Dean gets ready to, he's going to hell, and the hellhounds are taking him, and it's ripping at him, but you can't see the hellhounds, right? Because they're invisible. I'm telling you, that's pretty gruesome. It's ripping him up. There's blood everywhere, and he's screaming. And
I mean, he's getting sliced to ribbons. I mean, you can see it.
that's right. And then when they close it out with him hanging in these chains in hell, and there's hooks all in him, like in all these places. It's very Hellraiser. I mean, it's intense. So, all right, we've rambled a lot about Supernatural. Folks, give it a watch. Just give it away. And if you just say, I want some, I want to sample an episode, just message us. We'll give you some episodes to sample, and they'll hook you.
Yep, absolutely. I can already think of some off the top of my head. I'm not going to get into it, but I can already think some off the top of my head
That's
that'll
right.
get somebody
That's right.
in deep.
But for
But hey.
all you that become fans or are fan, I call dibs on Jensen Ackles. I'm sorry. Okay, I don't know where we were. We were talking about it, and somehow, wow, we really. Let's yeah, one more movie anniversary.
Uno Mas, we have November 19, 2021, Ghostbusters Afterlife. We both like this one. It's a decent return to form for Ghostbusters. Two movies that kind of were in between. It's good. It's good. Paul Rudd's okay on it.
Yeah, it's fun. There's a lot of nice hat tippings of the old, the old guard, and they're in it, and it's a nice passing of the torch. The only other's not too bad. What's it called? What's it called? Frozen Empire or something like that?
Yeah, Frozen Empire, I believe.
It's not too bad. I think Afterlife's a little bit better, but it's still not bad. They're fun. I don't know. To me, they're okay additions to the Ghostbusters franchise. But no matter what they do, none of them will be as good as the original. It's just the way it is. But they're fun. They're okay watches and movies that I would definitely, if I got in the mood, I'd throw them on, and I'd watch all through that franchise.
True, 100%. But good stuff. Love the Ghostbusters. Who are you gonna call? Somebody else.
Not
the
me.
two up, not me. Better not call my ass. But good stuff. We're gonna move now to our upcoming releases. We got two, and then we'll go ahead and get into our review, which I feel like we'll both have a lot to talk about. At least I do. So, upcoming releases on November 14th, Osgood Perkins' Keeper is coming to theaters. It is described as a romantic anniversary trip to a secluded cabin turns sinister when a dark presence reveals itself, forcing a couple to confront the property's haunted past. We did talk about reviewing this originally just because we both love Osgood Perkins, but unfortunately, our theaters aren't getting it. Even though normally the one that's over by the mall, typically they get movies like this, but for
Yeah, I don't
some
know.
reason.
This must have a bit of a limited release, I guess. It's peculiar. I've
Yes,
also realized
it's
that our two upcoming releases sound
similar. So
similar. I mean, very weird. Okay.
the other upcoming release that we are going to be reviewing next week is a Scream Box movie. Okay, we love our Scream Box open here, but comes out on November 18th. It is described as a group of friends rent a vacation home in Joshua Tree, unaware of hidden cameras recording their every move. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. Yeah, very weird that we have two like vacation type movies coming out around the same time.
Yeah, that's okay, I guess. I don't know. We wanted to review Keeper. We got Killer Carental. That's okay. That's what happens. I think they'll both be good. So we'll do Killer Rental, and when Keeper comes to streaming in some way, then we can just do a little chit chat on it at the beginning of an episode when we both watch it. So all good. Two birds, one stone. And look at it this way. If Keeper were here and we were reviewing that, we wouldn't probably be jumping to watch Killer Rental. So we might get to see a good movie that will sneak in on us here that we weren't expecting.
True, very true. But
I'm
well, all
putting
right.
a spin on it.
He's putting a spin on it, but I'm excited for it. I'm excited for anything that can screen box,
Oh
truthfully.
yeah. I just joke. I joke. I don't say anything bad. I'm just.
No.
This wasn't our first choice, but that's okay. That doesn't mean it's a bad one. So,
Nope. It's like when your parents say, "We got McDonald's at home. This is the McDonald's at home."
don't know about that.
No, I kid. But all right. That is going to do it for news, birthdays, anniversaries, and releases. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we will have our official review of Frankenstein.
Hey, Bruiser buddies. I want you to listen to Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty. Every week, he has the roughest and toughest interviews in the podcast world today with the best guests you could ask for. There's no bums on this show. Let Dave Dynasty be your podcasting tag team partner and listen to Wrestling Nostalgia while drinking beer, smoking cigars, and busting heads. Just look it up on your favorite podcast platform and subscribe today, because the Bruiser said so.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod. Okay, we are back here on Listen to Their Screams. It is review time, and we are reviewing Frankenstein, and everybody knows I love Frankenstein. And this is Guillermo, how, whatever you say, the Del Toro. I'm not sure why I'm having trouble with that. Guillermo del Toro. I'm still, I think, bubbling it. He is, it was written for the screen by him based on Mary Shelley's book, and del Toro directed it, starring Oscar Isaac, Jacob Elordi, Mia Goth, and others. I forgot Mia Goth was in it when I was getting ready to watch it. And then she popped up and was like, oh, yeah.
Little jump scare.
Yeah, I was like, ah. It was released in a limited run in theaters on October 17th. And I believe it is still out there in some theaters. So if you might check. I will say one thing. This would be an absolute gorgeous movie to see on a big screen. So you might check. It might still be in your area. But it is also on Netflix as of November 7th. You know, here's the thing. We're spoiler free. Because I think I could probably sit here and talk about this movie for just hours.
Time.
And there's so much to it. Number one, Del Toro, man, the way he does movies, they're beautiful. This is a gorgeous shot movie. The great locations, great costume, great. I mean, the cast, of course, is great. Everything, just so much attention to detail. It just, everything looks great. I like it. They did it in three parts because that ties really well to the book. Because you know, the book has kind of these. It has different sections like a lot of the books do, you know, do. And it ties very much. And it gives you, and I don't think this is necessarily a spoiler that's going to give anything away, but right, it gives you, you know, the vantage point, you know, from Frankenstein and from the creation, the creature. And then I don't remember what was the third part? What do they call the third part? I don't remember what they called the third part.
It was Prelude.
There was a Prelude, right? There was a Prelude. Yes. And then there was, from the point of view of Frankenstein, Dr. Frankenstein, Victor Frankenstein, then there was from the creature. That's what it was. I forgot there was kind of that prelude. Because I really, it started off and I thought, man, this is where they're starting it. And I get it, right, how it worked. And now here's the thing. We all thought he would be very devout to the book. And in many, many ways he was.
Yeah.
There were some things where he strayed. You know, it is what it is. It's not as over the top as some adaptations. There are some things, right? He had, again, I'm not going to talk about it because they will give away things about the movie. And it's just a few, right, of handfuls that are real prominent. Again, they don't, I don't know. Well, they're actually, they do affect the overall storytelling kind of considerably. But, you know, it is what it is. I don't know. One or two, I wasn't sure why he did it, but the others are just like, okay, it was just a choice. But I don't care. You expect that with a book like this and a take like this. I have to say, number one, the movie was long. We knew the movie was going to be long because of yes. Who it is, what it was, the anticipated that. I don't know that there could have been much cut out of it. Maybe. I mean, there might have been, but I don't think there's substantially enough to make a huge impact in the length. I think if you cut too much away, you'll kind of lose some context of some things.
But the movie was great. It was so fun. I enjoyed it. It was very gothic. I don't know if I would call it. There's not a lot of horror to it per se, but it felt like a modern take on the monster movies. It's not that there was jump scares and tension, but there was some tense moments. There was some cool scenes in the lab that were almost make you cringe a little. But it's very cool seeing this kind of take on the story and seeing this visually the way they did it. And a lot of the details, you could tell there was a lot of care taken. And I really, really, I really enjoyed it. Really liked it. That being said, though, I am a big fan of Frankenstein, and I love the movies. I love several of the movies that have been done over the years. Some of them are not very good, and I still like them. I don't know. I don't know if a casual viewer would have the interest, the attention span, or whatever, to watch this movie for as long as they did. I don't know. I'd be curious to know more about that. The acting was just phenomenal. I mean, of course, I love Oscar Isaac. He's so good in everything, and he was good in this. Mia Goth was good. I think she showed a whole nother side of herself, and she's shown a lot in her past what she's done. Man, this one she was great. I mean, just and Jacob Elordi was great as the monster, or as the creature, and whatever you want to call it. And just don't call him Frankenstein.
Yes.
And but everybody was great at it. And again, I a lot of times I beat up movies that are very long. I just think this is one that it was going to happen. You knew it was going to happen. There's no way it's not going to happen. Most of his movies are long anyway. But of course, when he does the pet project he's always wanted done, and he does Frankenstein, it's going to be long. And I think, what was it, 2.5 hours? It's not like it was like 6 hours or anything, but.
No.
But it was a gorgeous movie. I loved it. I really did. I thought it was great. I think it's one of the, I'm not going to say necessarily one of the best horror movies, because again, you have to, it's a loose take on a horror movie, but I thought it was one of the best movies I've seen this year. It just had all the components of just a great movie, not necessarily even a genre movie, just a great movie. But I don't think anybody would be surprised to know that how much I liked it, knowing, my love of Frankenstein. So, Ike, what did you think of it?
Absolutely. So, I want to say that just generally speaking, I loved the movie. It was fantastic. It was a great telling in a modern, like with modern technology of the vampire, or not the vampire, the Frankenstein story. I got vampires in the brain talking about supernatural. But I think that the whole concept that where Guillermo del Toro was trying to go, and like you said, there were some creative liberties taken with some aspects of the story. But I do think that for the most part, this is a very faithful adaptation. And I think that they did a very good job of not straying so far from the source material that it became unintelligible, right? We didn't go so far to say that, hey, this is a completely different story than what the original Frankenstein was.
Oh, yeah.
So I do think that, not, we don't want to scare people away by saying, oh, he took liberties, but he did take liberties, but it was still close enough.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Specifically for the story, like you said, there were three chapters. It was the prelude. It was the there were two story like two chapters. It was I'm trying to remember. I had it just had it pulled up. Okay, it was the prelude, Victor's Tale, and the Creature's Tale.
Yeah.
Is what they were. So the prelude basically sets up the Victor's Tale, and then Victor's Tale sets up the Creature's Tale, which then sets up the story, end of the story. Like you said, there were some scenes in this, like specifically like horror wise, there was some body horror in this. I mean, Frankenstein is literally a story about a man taking body parts of other people and making a new human being out of those body parts. I think that there is just some very general, like, that is horrifying in of itself. But obviously, the process of getting from point A to B as it pertains to, like, making the monster, it has to be also pretty terrifying, which this movie definitely showed that it was. Beyond that, very good story. I thought the ending was somber but just in a way. I'll leave it at that. And as far as the acting goes, obviously Oscar Isaac did a fantastic job. I was very hesitant about Jacob Elordi playing the creature. Originally, if I recall correctly, they had originally wanted to get Andrew Garfield to play the creature. But he had some scheduling conflicts that just could not be worked around. So Jacob Elordi was his replacement. Apparently, they actually spent 9 months making the makeup for Garfield, so they had only a couple of weeks to fix it for Elordi. But I'll be very honest with you, Elordi nailed it. He absolutely crushed it. He was fantastic as a monster. He gave a very, very convincing depiction of that character. Just overall was great. There are some supporting characters, like you said, Mia Goth, did a fantastic job. Victor Frankenstein's brother, he was pretty good. Christoph Waltz was in this movie. He played Harlander, which was also a very important character for the story. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think there was not a single weak performance in this. But Oscar Isaac's really nailed Victor Frankenstein. I mean, just above and beyond, he nailed the scientist trying to play God. And you know, and just overall, I've seen the original Frankenstein. I've seen a few adaptations over the years. I do think that this is probably one of my favorite modern adaptations of Frankenstein. I still love the original Frankenstein, but I just feel like this definitely gets more into the more emotion of Frankenstein and sort of the, I guess, the moral and ethical consequences of creating new life. And I thought it was very interesting how they talked about that and how the monster was plagued and how Frankenstein was plagued. So it's very curious how they went about it, and I love it. So I'll stop talking because, like I said, I could definitely talk about like the spoiler parts of it, like getting into like the logistics of certain aspects of like the ethical quandary that is creating life and all that. So, but it was fantastic. It was very, very, very fun for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And again, yeah, there's a lot to talk about with this movie that could be talked about and everything else. But then you, like you said, we would dive into spoilers and take more time than what we would want anyway. And then if we take more time, I mean, when will we talk about Supernatural? I mean, we can't take time away from that. But
True.
no, I again, no spoilers. Yeah, and like I said, when we say there was some liberty. These are not major. It's not like anything drastic. I mean, it's overall, this is a Frankenstein movie. There's no doubting that, no changing that. There's nothing to that level. To be fair, from a book adaptation, the original Frankenstein took more liberties than this one did. So, I mean, they went to the point of they changed Victor's first name and everything. They just did several things. So again, everybody does that. There's nothing here though that changes the course of the movie. I still, in my heart of hearts, and again, I've seen a lot of Frankenstein, the good, bad, and the ugly. I think this is, I don't know. I mean, I don't consider myself an expert, but I think this is probably the one of, if not the closest adaptation still to the books, even with those liberties. And if not, I'd love to see the other. So, hit me up and tell me, because I'm not sure what it would be that I'm not thinking of. Again, it was just a great movie. Just watch it and just appreciate it, how gorgeous it is. How much it just you could tell the love for the source material on this. So I can appreciate that. You could tell it was a passion project, and I really think when the time comes, I think Frankenstein will be right up there in the awards talk for lots of things.
I think
And
so.
I think it, I don't know, maybe I'm biased. I think it could even have a shot at a Picture of the Year. I think it's that good. So, loved watching it again. I would love to see it in a theater. But it's not in the area, but you never know. These things pop back up for special events, especially around Halloween or an anniversary. So maybe someday I'll get a chance to watch it, on a screen. Just an outstanding movie. It's one that to be real, I'll probably watch it again within the next week at some point. I would not be surprised if I don't watch it again before we record next. I really enjoyed it. And it's one of those movies that you feel like on that first watch, you probably didn't catch everything, right? Some of the details and some of the things that were said. And I think that it's one of those that you'll pick up even more on subsequent watches. So, great movie, great movie. I'm not going to say it's a perfect 5 out of 5 type movie. I don't think I have yet ever seen a 5 out of 5 movie for me. There's always going to be
True.
something. And again, if we do ever name a 5 out of 5 movie, then it's like, what's the point of that? What are you going to do after that? That's what you're comparing everything to. And I don't want to get that. I just don't know. I don't know that. I don't know. I don't know that it'll ever happen. But I think this is, without a shadow of a doubt, hands down, I'm going to keep it just a straight easy 4 out of 5. Thought about going a little higher, but I thought, nah, I'm not going to get too crazy with it, because again, I do understand I have a little bit of bias for my love of this material. But I there's no doubt to me that it's, I wouldn't even, would not even for a moment consider making this less than a 4 out of 5. So that's where I'll land. I'm going to keep it straight up 4 out of 5 screams from me. Ike, what are you rating it?
I think I have to agree. I don't think I've ever seen a perfect movie, at least not yet. But this is definitely a strong 4 out of 5. I think that had they leaned more into the horror, the sort of abject terror that is involved with what is happening in this movie, I feel like they kind of approached it from more of like a metaphysical perspective of like, how does the monster feel about this? And maybe if they had gone the other direction of like putting him into like just like a visceral rage 24/7, I feel like we could have gotten a very strong monster movie. But I guess that's not true to necessarily the story of Frankenstein. So I would agree. 4 out of 5 is a good way to put it. It's a great movie. It's not quite horror, but it is close enough that I would say it's in the ballpark. It's having dinner at the same table as horror, is how I'd say it.
There's enough there for me. And again, if we all consider the Universal Monster movies, horror, whatever else, this is in that same vein. Again, this is just the modern take on that for me. So it's still there. There's different kinds of horror. This is what it is. To me, this is just, it's a monster movie. But there's a lot of human emotion involved, and a monster movie can have that. And great, great, great take on it. Let's be real. If I didn't give Killer Clowns from Outer Space a 5 out of 5, I'm probably never going to give anything. Let's just be honest. But no, solid 4 out of 5. Great, great movie. Again, one of my favorites, if not my favorite movie, just in general, that I've seen this year. And I cannot anticipate. I don't know. I can't imagine this is not in our top five when we come to talk about the list, unless there's just killer after killer that's going to hit us up in December, and I don't know what that would be. I can't imagine this not being somewhere in that top five when we get there, as we roll over to 2026. But before we get there, we still got a lot to talk about, including, like we said, next episode we will be reviewing the movie Killer Rental, which will be on Screambox. But we will also be giving just a brief little chit chat at the opening of the show about the Creep Tapes, just like we did for season 1. It's back, and it is season 2, episode 1. It does not have a name yet, I don't think. I checked on IMDb earlier, didn't have anything up there. We'll know what that is when we watch it. But it'll be out, so we will briefly talk about the beginning of the next show, because damn, we love the Creep Tapes and the Creep franchise. You know that. We've talked about it just at length. So we will discuss these episodes as we go, like we did last time, because that's what we do. And then of course we're coming up into the Christmas season here. We're about there, and that means Christmas Horror starts coming up. We know there's the remake of Silent Night, Deadly Night. I'm sure there will be some others that will come out, maybe in theaters, I don't know, but
probably for sure onto streaming. And so any of those that slip out there, we'll definitely watch those because everybody knows Ike and I, we like those holiday horror movies. And looking forward to doing the rewatch of Thanksgiving that we talked about earlier coming up here soon. And I think I'll skip the Thanksgiving. No offense to them, but I'm sorry. It was what it was. I don't regret watching it, but I think once is good for me. I'm okay. I mean, it's just one of those movies. If you've not watched it, I think you got to do yourself the favor just to see it once, just so you know.
True.
It's just got to be experienced. Kind of like, you know, I don't know. You got to get kicked in the balls once in your life to know what it feels like. it just gives you context for stuff in the future. So, all right. So thank you for listening to us and hanging with us as we get sidetracked and we talk about Supernatural and comparing the clowns and it and whatever else we get sidetracked on. Hopefully you enjoy those because I feel like horror fans in general, when they talk, get sidetracked with little discussions like that. I think that's just kind of the way it goes when you're passionate about something. But thank you for listening to us and subscribing. And thank you to our wives for all their support. Like we said, we'll figure out some way to get them back on the show in some capacity in the future, whether it be a special episode about a specific topic or whether something comes up that we can do a wives rebuttal or whatever it may be. We'll get them back on again in the future. If you are fans of the wives, don't forget we just had them on the Halloween special. So make sure you give that a listen and you can hear them there. So be sure you subscribe to us on social media. Cause if you did, you would have known that. You would have known they were on that episode and I wouldn't have to tell you that and remind you of that. So just go out there and we're on all the platforms. Just search for Listen to Their Screams or Listen the Number Two Screams and give us a follow. We post pretty much all the news, anniversary stuff that we talk about here and then others. We don't put everything into the episode. We put other stuff online. Stuff comes up spur of the moment that we put on there that we don't necessarily talk about on here because by the time we get to it, it's just not as pertinent. So give us a follow and a subscribe on social media so that you can see all the fun stuff and all the news every day. And we could just get up in the morning, have your coffee, scroll through the Listen to the Scream social media and get your day started the right way. That's just, you can't do wrong with that. Fuck all the news, morning news and news. They're just all twisted and biased and full of shit anyway. Just start your day with Dave and Ike and coffee, always coffee. All right. So Ike, before we close out and get out of here, anything else you want to add?
Oh man. Just honestly, just to kind of reverberate what you said. I mean, it is that Thanksgiving time of year. There's not a lot of horror movies about Thanksgiving, but support the ones that are. And as always, Halloween is a year-round event for us. So
That's right.
Keep watching scary stuff. Check out Creep Tapes on Friday. Literally comes out Friday on Shudder. Check it out ASAP. Creep 1 and 2, the movies are on Netflix. So if you want to check those out, go check it out on Netflix. So season 1 of Creep Tapes is out on Shudder already. So if you want to rewatch all those, you can watch those. Weirdly enough, I saw a TikTok. Which I did not know that he had a TikTok, but Mark Duplass has a TikTok.
What?
And he's like, all right, kids. He's like, you watch Creep tonight. You watch Creep 2 tomorrow. And then, I watch Creep season 1 or Creep Tape season 1 the next day. And then Friday you'll watch. And I'm like, man, I did not know you had a TikTok. Yep. Mark Duplass is on TikTok.
There you go. Yes, well, we cannot support them enough. The Creep stuff is just outstanding. So, guys, when these drop, go watch season 1 again. Even if you've already seen it, go watch it again. But when these drop, watch and rewatch and rewatch them again. Let's make sure these succeed so that I want a season 3. I haven't even seen season 2, but I know I want a season 3, and I can't wait for them to get this in the bag and have a few seasons of this and then do that third movie they want to do to kind of bookend it. I'd be unhappy to see this, the franchise and the series close out, but I want to see what they've got. So support them. They're just so great. I can't wait to watch this first episode and talk a bit about it next episode. It's going to be fun. So go watch that good stuff. Go give Killer Rental a watch when it's out on Screambox so that you can follow along with what we're talking about. And again, if you've not watched it yet, do give Frankenstein a watch. Highly recommended. Just a great movie. Just get a big bowl of popcorn and your favorite beverage and just get comfy and enjoy the ride. It's a good movie. So, all right, then let's close out and get out of here. We've rambled about lots of stuff. It's what we do. Hopefully you enjoy it. Tell your friends, boys and girls, because the more the merrier here. Bring them on. And until next episode, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.